How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle.
Oh.
What's wrong?
Well, that's the theme of our...
Oh, it is the theme. I don't think we've ever spoken about the theme so quickly.
Well,
but I loved it.
I'll get in there, then it's done.
Yes, absolutely.
So the theme this week is outrage.
People love being offended.
Do people love being offended? Is it become a modern thing? Has it always been there?
Is it a good thing?
What does it mean? Is it a thing that's true to our age? Are people actually that outraged? I mean, these are all questions to talk about.
Yeah. I wonder about it when I'm writing material. So I'm currently in the process of writing a new show.
Clang.
She's back to the Edinburgh Festival. And, you know, talking about different... Do you worry when you're writing, Tom? Do you think, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing, or I worry that someone might take this the wrong way?
Yes.
Me too now. But do you think that's something that comedians have always had to consider, or do you think it's something that's very now?
Well, there's always that thing, isn't there, that people love to be like, oh, the thing about comedians now, there's just a... They got to be like so worried about not causing offence.
Oh, it's so PC.
So PC, and I always want to be like
cabbies. Always say that to me.
I was going to say cabbies, and then I was like, I'm sure there are other groups, but they always seem to be obsessed with that, and I always want to be like, well, I don't feel like I've never felt it really. I think I wouldn't want to say something that was unkind or hurtful to someone, because I want people to have a nice time in my show.
I completely agree. Yeah, that's the thing that I completely agree. Because I think it's...
I don't know quite what that cabbie wants.
Me
from
to
that.
Say, yeah. And like, also, I feel like once upon a time, gay people certainly would have very easily been the butt of a joke. Or like, you know, it'd be like, you know...
And I suppose as a response, like camp humour...
Sort of
has, maybe was often used outrageous has given been given license to say
and certainly
things.
Maybe drag queens
certainly
yeah so
certainly.
And I wonder if that is becoming more like I don't know if we're here's the thing I'm literally about to do it I've been told that white people shouldn't use the word woke
yes
because it's something that is not for me, which I'm totally fine with. I have no problem with, you know, editing my language so that it's, so I'm using it appropriately, of course. But I wonder if that's, I don't know what I can use as another word, but I wonder about like, has drag always had, or camp comedy, let's use camp comedy because it's something that we know maybe a little bit more about. Does it have its like roots in outrage and is it being sort of pumice stoned?
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? I think that my experience of, like, say, drag queens has been that any kind of outrage we've all felt is largely sort of rude. It's largely about, like, saying something about... It's usually, like, body parts.
Yeah, or sex.
Sex.
Yeah.
And I think the rudeness is always with a tone of, we're all sort of...
In this together,
which I think is a nicer feeling.
And like a community vibe. And I wonder if that's, you know, obviously with stuff like Drag Race, it's sort, you know, it's fabulous in many ways that drag is sort of being brought to the front drag queens sort of becoming famous. But I wonder if traditionally drag would have been something that was probably only really watched by queer people.
I think particularly in the UK, yeah.
There was more of that, well, we're an us.
Yeah, and we can...
And so I find it sort of quite interesting. There was a big sort of debate about Drag Race where a lot of feminists and often white women were saying, I find this offensive. And it's that thing of going, well, is this for you? And does everything need to be for you? And if you find that offensive, but the queer community that they're talking to or that they want their audience to be doesn't, then does your offense matter? What's your thoughts on that, Tom?
That's interesting. Well, I suppose if, for example, somebody was in, let's say, a comedy club, being mean about me or being then, but it was a comedy club that I wasn't attached to or didn't have any, you know, it wasn't a night that was particularly for me, I'd still be like, well, I'd prefer it if you didn't, like, sort of spread hate, for example. But it's such a fine line, isn't it, with comedy? Because I think whilst it treads this sort of tightrope between occasionally saying something that's quite outrageous or people want people to sort of explore that.
Yeah.
I think if it's done in a sort of ham-fisted way and it's causing hurt to people, then I think nobody I like would want to do that.
Well, no, absolutely. And I certainly don't mean like, I hate seeing anyone doing like a rape joke or a...
Or
like when a paedophile joke or anything like that is just... Ugh, I can't stand it at all. I think it's so unbelievably lazy.
Yes, yeah.
Unbelievably lazy.
Because that's like playing on the outrage of like people will be outraged at this. They won't have to respond. They'll probably laugh.
But people won't be outraged by it because people have done that for so long. It's just unbelievably dull.
Yes.
And so often those comics will be like, oh, God, they couldn't handle my humour. And they're like, no, they see through it. It's really vacuous.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess it's... You know, I wonder if someone like Julian Clary, who, you know, was sort of big in the 80s and 90s, more so when he did his act with Fanny the Wonderdog, I wonder if, you know, he was considered to be really outrageous. And I wonder whether now, because of, you know, would he have said something on stage and it would have been sort of like kept in that moment on stage, whereas now we have Twitter and all these ways of going, this person said this thing.
Yes, yes, maybe. I think...
I don't know. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I just think it's an interesting...
It is interesting, isn't it? And I think, well, I think the key thing that was just mentioned there, and I was in my mind as well, is social media. Because, as I've said before, and I'll say again, a lot of the time, people who like commenting on social media are the same people who would have turned up at a public hanging. I think...
I think that's so on the money.
That I think, like, not everybody, and there's lots of lovely people on there, but I think the idea of saying social media is a place where people can have a really nuanced dialogue about a topic is flawed, because clearly they can't.
Yeah.
As has been proven. I think some people can, but I think so often things can get taken out of context. Tone is never
100%
registered. And I think any subtlety or any nuance in any kind of conversation is always lost. So I think we feel like everybody's outraged all the time, but actually it's people on Twitter and other social media platforms.
I think you're probably right.
Who sometimes just love just like that. But I think actually...
I'm terrified of saying the wrong thing on Twitter.
Me too.
Because have you read the John Ronson book?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You've been publicly shamed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that, isn't it?
If you haven't read it, there's a... It's just basically about how the opening story is a girl saying something that's stupid and quite unkind on Twitter, but that was meant to be a joke. And which I'm sure she deeply regretted, but basically she tweeted it and then went on a 12-hour journey on a plane so she couldn't see her phone. And by the time she arrived in wherever she was going, she'd been turned into this monster on social media.
Oh, right.
She'd pretty much lost her job. Friends were saying, why would you say something like this? It was like a story in the New York Post.
Oh my God.
Became this huge thing. And just because it was a really bad joke or something that she didn't really think out. And it was and she had like 200 followers on Twitter. Oh. And all of a sudden it became this thing. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people have retweeted it. And I worry about saying... That's what I worry about, because I think that sort of part of the joy of stand-up is being able to go close to the bone. And I think, I would never do any material where I'm punching down or where, as you say, like whenever someone comes to one of my tour shows, I really want them to feel, even when people, not that heckling actually happens, people often assume that heckling happens all the time with stand-up. It really doesn't. Sometimes people want to join in. Certainly at tour shows, there might be a few people that want to join in. But I really hate the idea of someone... of people being really horrible to people that are just maybe overexcited, because I think, well, it's lovely you're overexcited to come and see me.
Yes,
I'm sort of thrilled you're here. And so I've had an experience of that at the weekend when a couple of guys were quite drunk and I think they'd brought in their own tins and they were being a bit naughty.
No.
But, you know, and they were being a little chatty and agreeing with me. And, you know, Whilst that's not ideal.
Were they
really,
gays?
Yes.
Sure. Gays drinking tins.
Come on, boys.
Come on.
And, you know, whilst it's lovely that I'm their evening out, and it is annoying that they keep talking because it is really upsetting the flow of the gig.
Mm.
However, it's all coming from a good place, so I never want to be too mean. And the same way on stage, you know, you can be playful
yeah.
with ideas or with things, but I think when you...
Well, as well, I think...
you're becoming mean, but I don't know. I think it's a really difficult thing of like, well, I want to be able to talk about things.
Yes.
And if I get something wrong or if I say something the wrong way or say if I use the word woke, then, you know, by accident or nobody had told me that you can't use it and then all of a sudden... That's not for you know.
Well, I think sometimes the tone on something like social media towards something like that can feel very, what is the word? You know, like outraged.
Yeah,
and I think that actually puts everybody on edge. And I think actually being able to have a conversation where people go, it might be good to reconsider the use of that word because of blah blah blah.
Yeah, but people very rarely do that.
But it doesn't seem to be seldom seems to be the vibe.
Yeah,
the feel. It seems to be much more like you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah,
how dare you? Yeah, that sort of thing.
I was such a bitch on stage the other night.
Were you?
I almost rang you afterwards.
Oh, what was it? So what was this?
I'll tell you what happened. So I was on stage.
Sorry, I was just dealing with my cuticles. Yes.
I can say the name of the comedy club, can't I? It's a comedy club I love, Top Secret, where I was going to sort of try some new material. It's a very nice little comedy club in London. And I was in the upstairs room. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And you're on sort of a small boxy stage. The audience are... just in front of you on sort of like flap down seats. It's not massive. They're on flap downs, sure. It's maybe 80 people full.
80 flap downs.
80 flap downs, sure. They're not really raked, but you're on sort of a plinth, like the fourth in Trafalgar Square.
And a lovely piece of art.
Yes. Margaret Thatcher's about to go on there. It's going to have a 24-hour security, so people don't...
I think... Oh, was it? Oh,
handle,
yeah.
Is it?
That's... No,
is that right?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I'd heard a rumour that was always their agenda for it. But I don't know if that's true.
Who knows? Anyway, is that right? Is it the fourth plinth?
Yeah.
She's going? Yeah. Anyway, so I'm on stage. I'm having a nice gig, but they're quite rowdy. They need a little bit of... they need me to be sort of quite sharp and quite quick, and there's not much time for referencing other things. You couldn't necessarily talk about Swedish design. You know.
Which... is the main thing I want to hear about.
You know, you've got to be quite punchy. Anyway, a few people have got up to get a drink, not while I'm on, but as I was walking to the stage, which is hugely annoying, but fine.
Hugely.
You know, I was doing 10 minutes. Anyway, as I was on stage, annoyingly, the microphone broke. So then I've not got a microphone and I'm trying new stuff because I'm trying to write a new show, And so I'm doing that. And then... I'm like really having to work hard because I'm doing new material and I haven't got a mic and they're quite rowdy. Oh, so I'm trying to do all these things.
Hard.
Anyway, this girl walks up to the stage.
Okay.
And I said, oh, hello, what are you doing? And she said, I'm sitting over there. And I said, well, are you not going to go around? And she went, no. And then it gave me a look as in to say,
that's not very polite.
Step out of the way. So then I had to step back on stage so she could walk on the small, sure.
Oh.
But so she could step up and walk across the stage.
Rudeness.
And she looked at me.
Absolutely.
The only way I can describe it. Do you remember how the cool girls would look at you at school when you embarrassed yourself?
Yes, of course.
I felt embarrassed that I was doing stand-up. Do you know what I mean? Like embarrassed. Like how dare you think you have the right to stand on stage? You like, you know, angry little lesbian, I'm sure she thought. And she was in like a tiny dress and like, anyway, then I was really unkind to her. So I said, I imagine you might be one of those girls that think they're a lot more attractive than they are. I bet you're really lazy in bed. Which, of course...
you really didn't like her, did you?
Which, of course, got a huge laugh.
Right.
And she then felt very embarrassed, which rightly she should have. And I said to her, how dare you? This is so rude. And like, I was having a really good gig and she basically like ushered me like, move out of the way so I can walk past with my rosé. So unbelievably rude.
So rude.
So rude. And you know when you get that anger?
Of course.
That feels like it comes from your feet.
Yes.
And it's almost...
I once got it in a hotel when they wouldn't serve me cheese on toast in the bar.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, sorry, continue.
And you know, it. you sort of feel sort of quite hot from it.
Yeah.
I rarely feel like that.
Red hot anger, that's what... Yeah.
I rarely feel like that. And I was so furious.
Furious.
I was so... I was furious.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't even listen to music on the tube home.
I thought that was part of the story where you, like...
I was so angry.
...kicked off in the club. So I'm glad you got out of there.
Yeah, yeah. So then I said that to her. I got a huge round of applause. And I had, like, pretty much done my time. And I said to her... And then I said... I finished my gag. That got a laugh. And then I said, right, I'm off now. You've all been lovely, but you, how dare you?
That's funny.
I walked off stage.
Yeah.
And then... Obviously, at the moment, it was very funny. And then I like marched to the tube station. I got out of the gig really quickly. Everyone was like, everyone that ran the gig, and were like, oh, sorry, we shouldn't have let her back in. She was being really dicky at the bar as well. And like, oh, sorry, the microphone cord didn't work. And like, those things happen at Comedy
Yeah,
Plus.
They're really
fine.
Nice there. And they're
great
really nice there.
Yeah,
really
those things
club.
Happen. It's not, it's not about their environment. It was just her. And so angry walking to the tube, like, marching. And then I got on the tube and I sat down. And then I felt... instant guilt that I'd been that horrible to her.
I get like this. Yeah, that's so funny, isn't
and
it?
And I was like, oh, she was out with all of her work friends. She was really showing off. Apparently she'd been tricky in the first half as well. And then I thought, and now what I've done is I've been a woman on stage that has made fun of like sort of said about how someone looks.
Oh.
Which I was like, oh, that's not a good thing for me to do.
Well.
But then I felt so guilty about it. Like, oh, maybe she's having a tough time. But it's such a funny thing.
But it's a lot of projection that's
yeah.
going on there.
And like, and then I said that to my girlfriend when I got home. And she was like, no, you're thinking about how you would feel. But you would never interrupt someone's show.
Yeah.
You would never think
Some
you were more
really
important
yeah.
than someone that was that they'd paid to see.
It's a very impertinent thing to do, to be like, no, I'm not going to walk around.
Like, move back so I can walk across where you're standing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was walking in front of the audience. She had to step up onto the stage bit to walk in front of me. I was absolutely flabbergasted by it. But then I was so mean and, like, funny. People really laughed.
Yeah.
But then I felt like, oh, God, I'm as bad as her. I'm an awful person. I hate myself.
Well, we're all human beings,
yeah.
aren't we? And
Hot
we
rage,
all
though.
Get angry sometimes and we get fed up with each other. Like, you didn't resort to physical violence.
I didn't.
Which, you know, some people would. Some people do, don't they?
Yeah. That's the thing. And then I thought, oh, God, that was offensive. But I wouldn't say necessarily...
Well, that's part...
It's so hard, though, isn't it? And that's the thing. That's the sort of thing that I was interested to discuss with you about being offensive on stage, or what is offensive, or whether we should never be offensive.
Well, I suppose it's offensive there's offensive and offensive, isn't there? I suppose, like, we can all make mistakes and
yep.
we can all innocently make mistakes and I think that people deserve to be forgiven and deserve to learn. We all deserve to learn from our mistakes. We're all human. I think, though, as well, like, your experience of outrage there is, you know, it's about people not... It's about somebody not respecting you and just being rude. And I suppose that's what it comes down to, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
I always think that when people talk about, when like cab drivers want to be like, oh, it's all about political correctness gone mad. It's like, well, let's just change the language for a moment. Let's just, rather than saying political correctness, let's just say rudeness. It's
yeah.
just really rude to behave like, or it's really impolite
to behave like
that. And
basically what some people... I won't say cab drivers, but what some people are saying is, God, you can't do any jokes about race. You can't do any jokes about people being gay. You can't do any jokes about...
Well, I do.
But, But do you know what I mean? And it's
about,
like, well...
sexuality. Because I'm gay.
Because you're gay.
Because
if you didn't know. But yeah, it's like, well, it's quite lazy to just make jokes about being horrible to people. It's sort of quite...
Yeah.
Schoolyard.
Well,
but,
yeah. And I think if you put it in that context, then people are like, well, I suppose so. I didn't think of it.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the other thing. That's what I think is, I think sometimes, of course, it's right to be outraged about things and it's right that we all have a moral compass and that we all address it. And sometimes social media is good at bringing that together. But I think sometimes what it does, it kind of creates this place where we don't talk to each other. We just sort of just saying things out there. And
I think you're really right. I think that's it. And I think it's about having discussions about stuff and being willing to learn and say, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was a thing. Or I misunderstood that. Or, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that what I said would make you feel like that. Thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah. yeah, I think being able to say that and being able to say to people, because it's hard, you know, if somebody, I don't know, I suppose it's just sort of about moving forward and about being a better society, isn't it?
That's yeah, I think
dream,
you're right.
Rather than, I think, sometimes shouting at each other, for example, doesn't necessarily make people want to change and improve. It just makes them go, oh, God, I was just shouted at. How can I?
And now I'll shout back now because shout that's back my knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, because I feel humiliated. Or yeah. Whatever. But I suppose it's, yeah, I don't know. I feel like calm discussion is always better than shouting. But that's not to say people can't be outraged at times.
I think you're right, Tom.
You know, as I say, I'm always outraged by rudeness. I'm always outraged by the fact that I can't get cheese on toast in a hotel in the bar. I can get it in my room, but I can't get it in the bar.
So did you get it to your room and then bring it down?
No, they said that was not okay.
How did you have rage from your feet?
Absolutely. The person I was with said they'd never seen me like that. Said I was sitting differently in the chair.
Oh, I'd love to have seen it, Tom.
Whilst I was supping on my Syrah Grenache.
Well, listen, we both know you got a great routine out of it, so.
It all worked out in the end.
It all worked out in the end.
Yeah.
Now, Tom, are you still recording the Bake Offs?
Bake Off Professionals is ongoing. We're hoping that the series will go out in the spring. It's been so much fun to make. The teams are brilliant. They're such great characters. They're working so hard. I think it's going to be a great series. So I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And Susie, the tour.
I'm still on tour. I've still got another run to come at the Soho.
Yes, the first one sold out. So if you want to see Susie in her April run.
Yes, please do.
So there are some tickets left.
We'll be back soon, maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
I'll be like
Yeah.
And thank you for listening as ever. And if you got offended by this episode, fuck off. No.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that as we were recording it. I was like, oh, God, am I going to say something wrong?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. And then I was like, oh, is it a bad thing to talk about on the podcast? But then I think it's not, because I think it's saying to people, don't get really offended. Let's just talk
rather than
being
it.
And also I often find the people that are saying things like, I am so offended, are people that are like able-bodied, privileged.
Yeah, sure.
Straight.
Yeah. Cis,
you know, being like, actually, I'm really offended by this because I feel like it might offend someone else. And it's like, why don't you let people who it might offend have an opinion before you jump on the bandwagon?
Yes.
Which I think is very important.
Yes, let's all talk a bit more and not assume the worst in people all the time.
I think that's a good
call. Maybe, but maybe I'm very privileged to say that. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Well, we'll all beat ourselves up on the tube home. But
let's do that. Let's do that. That's the best thing to do.
But, thank you for listening.
And we'll join you next time on Like-Minded Friends.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.